Well, in terms of schedule, you're talking about how the scheduling of that capital will occur. I think that's still got to be fleshed out. We're planning roughly for 2018 around $90 million. So the rest of that schedule, I think, we'll have to wait till we can lock down the spending across that 5 years. We speak to that in a different.
Yeah, Lucas, it's Fraser. I'd put the rest of it in just evenly for the time being in your model, and there may be some more we can say about that in February with the guidance for next year.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Maybe just for clarification, the saturated fill project that Robin was referring to would replace water treatment plants to a certain extent. At the moment, we're giving you that number because we have to go with the known technology that will work, and a number of plants would have to be built, and that's what it would cost. But our hope, of course, is that the new technology will prove out and that some of those plants won't be necessary, and that's hundreds of millions of dollars. But we won't be able to make those kind of decisions for, some time, a couple of years. And so in terms of trying to put in your model what's going to happen, I think Fraser's right. You've got to put something in, so try that. But things are going to likely change in the next year or two.
That's great. I'm sure you're going to be learning up, moving up the learning curve really quickly. So appreciate the commentary.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It's a learning curve.
Thank you. The next question is from Greg Barnes with TD Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of clarifications. If I'm putting in a couple hundred million dollars a year of sustaining capital into my model for coal currently, should I be increasing that by another couple hundred million between 2018 and 2022? So $400 million a year in sustaining?
Just hold that thought for a minute because some of it was already in, but we'll come back to you. What was the second clarification?
Then if Coal Mountain was the bulk of your lower quality coal, the soft coal, semi-soft, should not your price realization actually get better going forward as you get a higher percentage of higher quality coal?
That's certainly what I hope, but I've never been able to get my marketing guys to commit to that because their trends are so conservative. So, Rael, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah. So, Greg, the other mines will also produce some different grade material. So it's a little bit early days. I mean, at this point, we're comfortable saying that we will return to typical realizations, but as some of our mines are going into new mining areas, we also need to clarify that before we can say whether or not we could actually do better.
Okay, fair enough.
And just while we're working on the answer to your first question, I want to make a comment on the arithmetic, frankly. Recall that we sell about 40% of our coal at the benchmark, which is calculated on a 3-month rolling average, 1 month lagged, and the other 60% at spot. And so if you're looking at the average realization for a quarter, it highly depends on whether the spot price is rising during the quarter or falling during the quarter. So for example, we've been seeing the price falling for the last while, though it seems to have stabilized lately. But that would mean that relative to a benchmark set earlier, that you would have, your 60% of volume selling at lower prices, and that would open up the spread, the realization spread between benchmark and spot. Conversely, when the spot price is rising, you're selling more at prices that could even exceed the benchmark and have on several occasions, and you end up with quite a tight realization. And as an example, if you just go back 4 quarters, I think the benchmark was 93 or 92.50, and our realized was 92, almost exactly the same, very, very close, and not the normal 92 or 94% that we see. So I see there's a lot of focus on the 85. We give that as an estimate to, try and guide and be helpful and to highlight that, yeah, we will have a different product mix this quarter. But that 85 could change dramatically if the spot price changes or stabilizes. So I wouldn't be too exact about it. Okay, now looking to Ron or Fraser, if we can give more.
Yeah, just on the sustaining capital, Greg, we haven't given out the guidance for 2018 yet, but we will do that in mid-February when we release our results there. But and effectively, whatever your view is at this point in time for the CapEx or the sustaining CapEx at that time, you'll need to add in whatever your view is on when we would spend that $850 on the water treatment plants. But there'll be a bit more clarity in mid-February when we give that out. So we're in the process of going through the plans right now, so we haven't finalized the 2018 capital plan yet.
Okay, it's just a bit difficult for us to assess this properly on our NAV if we've got a $850 million. We're not really sure whether that's incremental or whether that's already included in some of the numbers we have in the model.
It's not included in, shouldn't be included in your current models unless you had something in for that original 600. So you'll have to sort that out.
Okay. Thank you.
It's important, Greg, that you know, we signal that this is what it could be. I think anything that people are putting in the models now is going to change fairly significantly in the next year or two on this question. So, once again, you know, the NAV that you calculate is only as good as the assumptions, and the assumptions are likely to change.
Fair enough.
Thank you. The next question is from Alex Tarenciu with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just one follow-up question on the coal costs. The $6 a ton long-term cost post-2023 you're talking about, are there costs that you are currently incurring that are part of that? I mean, you already have your West Lion Creek and you're doing other activities. So are those $6 incremental to cost today, or are there, you know, $1 or $2 that you're spending today that are part of that?
Yeah, good question, Robin.
Yeah, they're inclusive of what we're spending today. So the $6 long-term or whatever remaining capital is involved, as well as the operating of all of the plants that we put into play over the next 5 years, basically. So the costs we incur now are included in that $6 a ton long-term.
And I could be wrong here, but I think I recall talking to somebody about this a year or so ago, but I think that cost now is somewhere in the $1 to $1.50 range. Is that about right, or $1 to $2?
Roughly around one. I think it's around $1.
$1. Okay. Okay. Great.
That's a pretty rough number.
Sure. No, I understand. And then just one follow-up question: Highland Valley Copper. I know the grades have been, you went through a low-grade phase the past 9-12 months or so, and so recoveries have been low. But when do you expect them to kind of get back into the, you know, mid to upper 80s range? I know you're doing a mill enhancement project that should add a couple percent in 2019 or so, but the, you know, is mid-80s next year reasonable, and then back up to the upper 80s by later 2019?
Dale Andrews?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the question, Alex. As we drop, we're in the upper levels of both the Lornex pit and for the Valley pit, basically doing the west wall pushback. While we're in the upper phases of those two pits, the grades are lower, but the ore characteristics are also not conducive to high recoveries. So it will take a few years to get back to historical recoveries. It's one of the reasons we really want to do this D3 mill project. The grades will and have gradually recovered, but recoveries will also take some time to get back to historical levels. We do anticipate it to increase next year, but not to the mid-80s, and we'll come out, as Ron said, with guidance at the end of the fourth quarter. We're currently running through those, Michael.
Well, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Carl Blunden with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the time and the question. Just thinking about some of the alternatives that you have now for capital allocation, since you do have a lot of cash on hand and more coming in, when you think about what the most attractive things might be relative to QB2, what comes to mind? You know, you had put in a bid for a 50% of a copper asset back in 2015. So just trying to think if M&A is in the game plan at all.
Not that we can see. I guess the first decision that the board would make related to capital allocation will be the supplemental, which we will determine at the board meeting next month. And what we choose to do there could have an effect on other capital allocation decisions, including QB2. So I think we really have to get through that and then see what the picture looks like. But as I said earlier, you know, at these prices, you know, zinc's looking very strong. Coal market is stabilizing at a pretty nice level. We are going to generate a fair bit of cash and put us in a position to make some good decisions. So the first one up is the supplemental, and that's next month.
Gotcha. And then on that topic, as you think about capital allocation and your discussions with the credit agencies, you know, I know you've been vocal about investment grade being an objective that you could consider over time. What do you think is the gating factor right now? Diversified portfolio, strong cash generation, low leverage. What's it going to take to have them move to IG?
Good question. Obviously, we've worked very hard to get back to investment grade, which is very important to us. If you calculate our ratios, obviously, they're pretty strong, and they're going to get stronger when $1.2 billion of cash comes in, hopefully, in the Q1. So when you look at the numbers, I think we've got a pretty strong case. Having said that, what the rating agencies will look for is, you know, the completion of Fort Hills and progress on the ramp up next year, which, of course, we're quite optimistic about given how well the bitumen froth sort of tests have gone in the early going here. But they'll want to see that completed. They'll also want to see what our decisions are in supplementals, and they'll want to see what the final kind of capital estimates are on QB2 and when that decision is made. So those are three key decisions for them, but if you look at our numbers, we've got a pretty strong case.
Gotcha. So it'll probably take a little while for them to get all the clarity they need, but still on the cards.
Yeah, you know, time flies pretty quickly. Fort Hills, 96%, first oil in December. This is October, 26th? That's getting pretty close.
Great. Thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from James Bardowski with Axiom. Please go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess first, with respect to Antamina, great job on the record zinc production, by the way, but with respect to that, what do you expect in terms of zinc production next year, including what kind of grades and recoveries you expect to see, and how do you see this influencing the byproduct credits for your unit copper costs? I have a follow-up as well.
Dale Anderson?
Yeah, so the zinc production at Antamina is variable, quite variable, quarter by quarter. It is managed as a byproduct, so copper is the primary contributor and revenue driver. That being said, we do anticipate strong zinc production. I think we, at the end of last year, we gave 3-year guidance from 2018 out to 2020, and I think the average was about 80,000 tons of contained zinc for our share. And that, you know, we'll update our guidance at the end of the year, but I don't anticipate any major change. Zinc production will be strong next year.
Okay, helpful. And then separately, turning to Fort Hills, what's relative to the WTI price, what do you see in terms of the aggregate discount? And also, what are you expecting for operating margins when it starts producing?
Okay, we've got three people to choose from for that question, but I might just make a comment first. When you say aggregate discounts, there's a number of different sort of line items that you go through in the calculation, and those are moving parts that once we get into operation and start seeing how it you know, nails down, stabilizes, then we're going to spend a fair bit of time taking people through the model so that they can calculate what kind of margins we can look at. At this stage, the focus is really on just getting it completed and up and running, and then, you know, whatever operating issues we may find to work those out and get into a steady state production at the design capacity. And that's Suncor's focus and the partnership's focus. So we really don't have operating costs to share at this stage going forward, and that's not our focus. What we usually do is when people ask us that question is we point to Suncor's results at their base operations and note that they announced yesterday, and they're pretty strong, pretty impressive, and we think that Fort Hills will be better. So, but that's not going to get to that point until, 2019 at the earliest. 2018 is going to be a ramp-up year. Actually, I think I may have answered the question, so why don't I leave it at that unless there's a subsequent question.
Got it. All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Brian MacArthur with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Sorry to go back to the Elk Water Valley, but I just want to understand the numbers here. You talked historically about $600 million from 2014 to 2018, and now we're saying it's $300 million, of which you mentioned $120 is spent, and some of it for 2017's included in your sustaining capital, I think, if I read this correctly. So if I go and assume, just never mind the exact numbers conceptually, if I have 300 to spend, I've spent 120, I know that I had 180 to go between 17 and 18, I take some out of it and you're sustaining this year, I should end up with a leftover number, which I should then add to the 850 to 900 going forward. Is that the way to look at the capital going forward?
Yeah, just before Robin starts, I want to give some more context. If you go back in time to when we first guided to the $600 million, all of that was included in our sustaining capital budgets at that time. The reason why we haven't been quite as precise to the question that was asked earlier is that we haven't done our budgets yet. We haven't finished them for next year and decided what component is in sustaining capital or not. And that's why Ron said that we'll give you the final guidance on that later on. So you're a little bit ahead of us in trying to get to this position in your models, but that 600 was all sustaining capital at that stage. Okay, Robin, back to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to follow you on your calculation, but essentially we had planned to spend 600. We're going to spend roughly 300 through the end of 2018. So 300 million that we had intended to spend in that five-year period did not get spent and will be advanced into the next five-year period. That's probably the way to look at it. We've got another, I think I mentioned, we expect around $90 million to be spent in 2018 now. So that would be part of the 2014 to 2018 calculation you're trying to do. So the one piece of that number I think that you'd mentioned that I'm not sure I'm clear on is the $120 million spent to date. I think it's more than that. I think the balance will come out to the $300 million across that 5 years is what it should calculate out to, ending in 2018.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. The $120 I just got is what you gave us for what you spent on West Lawn Creek, so I assume there's something else as well, too. Okay, and then on top of that back.
That $120 was the number, the original number when we first built it, but there have been things done to the plant since then that it would have
taken. And then on top of that, back to Alex's question, for the next few years, you just run like $1 a ton for not capital costs but operating costs, and that would continue through from 2017 through to 2022 till we get the long term $6 a ton, which includes both operating and capital. Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, again, like the Westland Creek operating costs, that's roughly what it's at. It's a little hard to pin that down simply because we've been going through the work of bringing that plant to a fully operational state with the enhancements, and we still have to add on the advanced oxidation process. So there's still work being done on the West Lion Creek that will lock down what its operating costs are, but that's roughly in the range, I think. And then the other plants that are constructed will be in addition to that dollar, I guess, looking forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, well, that's very helpful. And then just secondly, back to the earlier question about the closure of Coal Mountain, and maybe I've got this wrong, but I believe it has a lower strip, and as you said, lower realized coal price. So, and you also mentioned there may be marketing reasons why you do this, but as I move to Coal Mountain and replace it at the other mines, You would assume, I don't know how the costs work out, the strip's going to be higher, so my cost is going up. So why wouldn't I sell higher premium coking coal as opposed to just semi-soft, back to the earlier question, which would lead to a, you know, a higher percentage of the realized price, all else being equal? Is there some other marketing reason you'd do that?
Do you want me to start? You could start.
Yeah, I'll just, again, I think, well, the front end of that, you're right, I'm just going to follow the logic. So Coal Mountain is a lower strip ratio, produces a lower quality product. As we transfer into the other operations, the costs are higher because they're higher strip ratio, but they have higher quality products on balance. But they do,
right.
They do still have a portion of semi-soft or lower quality products. And I think, and Rael will speak to this, but in the market, there is value in having some range of products. So we're still working out what this will look like in balance, I think. And maybe, Rael, it's better you speak to that. But generally, on balance, we should have a higher proportion of high-quality hard coking coal being produced out of the 27 million that we they will produce. Post Coal Mountain.
Rael, over to you, and then I have a comment.
Okay. So yeah, as Robin says, the reality is that we have a range of product across our operations in the Elk Valley. So as we're transitioning into those new mining areas, we need to also develop markets for these new products. So that's the reason as well where we say, yeah, we think that we will be back on our typical realization. There is a chance we might be able to do better, but it's a little bit too early to say whether or not that can happen. So we'd rather be like more realistic, I guess, and say we know that we can get back to our typical realizations, and then let's just see what the products that will come out would look like and what will be the response in the market for those new products.
Okay, the comment I want to make is I think there might be a bit too much of a fixation on the percent realized. And if you think about it, what we really should be doing is maximizing the profitability during the quarter. Coal Mountain is quite a profitable operation. If you wanted to just manage to realize, you'd shut Coal Mountain down right now and have a higher proportion of premium quality coal to sell, and you'd minimize your discount to the benchmark, and you'd have a high percent realization, but you'd have lower profits. So I think people should sort of keep the whole thing in context. We give this disclosure to give you things to work with, but in the end, maximizing profitability is important.
Alana? We've gotten to the end of our time. Maybe if there's still one more question we could take, and then we'll wrap up.
Certainly. Thank you. The last question will be from Orest Wowkadow, a follow-up question with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up. I think there's some confusion still out there on the water treatment costs. Is there correct? The easiest way to think about this is you put out $600 million of CapEx guidance. Now you're saying 850 to 900, but of the original 600, you only spent 300. So effectively, the capital is doubled. What used to be 600 million is now 1.2 billion over longer periods.
Within the 600 million originally was the full construction of a water treatment plant that didn't happen. So the Fording River water treatment plant was included in that 600 million in the 5-year period 2014 to 2018. That was delayed because of the issues we've discussed. And so now that capital will fall into the next 5-year period. And as well, there were other treatment plants that were to be built within this next 5-year period. So it's not doubling.
But aren't you spending $300 million between 14 and 18 and then another $900 million between 18 and 22?
We are, but it's a different scope of work.
Okay.
You're also comparing two different time periods. We only gave guidance on 14 to 18 to begin with.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
They're always going to be capital from 18 to 2022 at some stage, but we never disclosed a number. So it's two different time periods.
is there capital beyond 2022, beyond the $6 a ton?
The capital beyond 22 is included in the $6 a ton. So it tails off. There's other capital to be done, but it becomes a smaller and smaller percentage. So it becomes just operating.
Okay.
Once the plants are built, the ongoing capital would be replace the pumps and the normal sustaining type capital to keep those operations running.
Okay, but this assumes all the plants are built by 22.
Not necessarily. This would address the largest at the front end of the plants to be built. There are other plants that are in the current schedule past that are smaller capacity. But again, they're all included in $6 a ton post-2022.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the question and answer session. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Lindsay.
Okay, thanks very much. And thank you all for your questions. I wanted to make four comments related to these things. First, on costs and capital, it is our obligation to give timely disclosure and as much transparency as possible. And so putting those numbers out was very important, even though, as you can tell, that they haven't been nailed down yet. And we will give you more precise numbers at the February call once we finish the work. Some of your questions are ahead of where we are, but I wouldn't want to have not put some estimates out now at this point. I think it's important that you have a feel for it. But in our minds, certainly it looks like there's been an overreaction. Secondly, I'm always intrigued by the cost precision people are trying to get to on their models, and whether it's the $4 to $6 and whether it includes the dollar already spent and so on, I would note that quarter to quarter costs swing by much larger margins than that just on exchange rates and other things. And you shouldn't, if you are putting in models, you should probably incorporate things that we are going to do to help reduce costs. So, for example, we think on our logistics ends that we're going to be able to make some real progress in the next few years in terms of reducing costs there. Our advanced management program has been very successful and continues to be successful, as the purchasing program that we have. So while you may add $2 there, we're certainly intending to take more than that, significantly more of that out of costs as we go forward. Second point, the coal market is stabilizing. You know, the decreases from a peak of about $212 were significant first, but we haven't seen very significant declines in the last week or two. And we do have synchronized global growth. We have the strongest demand in Europe that we've seen in 10 years. And while there's lots of people focused on China, don't forget the other markets because they are quite strong. So we feel quite comfortable, and that demand is absorbing the increases in exports that we've seen in the U.S. and the recovery in Australia. So we feel pretty solid markets elsewhere, and frankly, China's GDP growth numbers are really solid as well. Then on the one-off items, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, 17 cents were things that if you were modeling before our results, you might not have been able to get to. You know, that's 3 cents a share on the tax rate, 2 cents on the copper sales that are just timing. It'll come in this quarter. The regulatory changes on environment care maintenance of 5 cents and 7 cents on share-based compensation. If you add back that 17 cents, you get a pretty good number for the quarter. So while if there are some calling it a miss, we certainly think of it as a beat. And a pretty solid quarter. And as you look forward to Q4 with, the rolling average of where the benchmark would be calculated at just under 194 today, while sales are likely to be lower than the second highest of all time that we had in Q3, there's still a pretty solid quarter and a pretty solid price. So we think that Q4's results look pretty good to us right now. And finally, on the point I made at the beginning that we had over $6 billion of EBITDA in the last 12 months at an average price of $185. And when you look at the average price on an inflation adjusted basis over the last 10 years, that's $183. So the earnings generation capability of this company is quite substantial. And I'm not sure that the market realizes this at this point. So with that, thank you all for your attention. We look forward to talking to you in February.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.